Welcome to Building Wealthy Habits, a Tricord Advisors radio program. You will recognize Randy from Retirement Unlimited, a program that has aired on our station for over 15 years. Each week on Building Wealthy Habits, your hosts discuss life's hard financial questions relating to retirement, business ownership, and losing a spouse. Randy Barkley, Jeremiah Lee, and Laura Lee are CFP-certified financial planners at Tricord Advisors, and Jeremiah is a California licensed attorney. If you have a topic you would like them to discuss on the air or would like to connect with them about your situation, visit their website, tricordadvisors.com. Or give them a call at 951-684-7011. Now, let's join the conversation on Building Wealthy Habits.
Well, this is Building Wealthy Habits for a Tricord Advisors podcast and radio show. This is Laura Lee. I'm Jeremiah Lee. We're your hosts for today. And each week we get together, we talk about financial items that can add value to your life. And this week we are talking basically to business owners. Business owners, whether they're startups at the very beginning, whether they're growing their business, whether they're at a mature level, we're going to kind of talk through the business cycles that people go through and where a financial advisor does or doesn't make sense.
Right. In an earlier podcast, we talked about entity formation, different business structures. So that might be something that our listeners would want to go back and revisit. Today, we want to talk about entrepreneurs. And we've worked with both serial entrepreneurs, those who have a habit or are in the business of starting businesses. And they're going to have a specific vantage point. And we have others that just have a big idea and have started their own business. And so we're going to talk through kind of those cycles or those phases that most, again, these are kind of stereotypes, but most businesses go through and kind of the sort of important or critical points at each juncture.
Yeah, that's great. So as a brief overview, most companies, this is the kind of the structure we'll use for our conversation. They start with a launch. You know, they're gonna launch. It's a new idea. Sometimes it's just a proof of concept. This is somebody, you know, baking something out of their garage, doing it, a hand t-shirt press. This is someone, you know, it's small as it needs to be. It's a launching a business. They decided to go for it. If that's successful, it turns into a growth phase. Mm-hmm. You have a company that's growing, and often that's a difficult season because orders are coming in. They got to maybe hire some people. You know, it's all sorts of things. Then it comes to a point where they've kind of gotten to the market. They're a real business, and they're on their way towards maturity. And that's kind of that in-between season. The maturity is where it's a lot of the business owners we work with.
Yeah.
They run a business. They've had it for a while. And then it's either perpetually mature and they're reinventing themselves and staying with the markets, or there's a decline. So that's kind of the structure.
Yeah, you gave like a broad arch. I always thought, you know, when I think about a bright idea or an entrepreneur, when we had young kids, I remember going into Babies R Us and looking at the wall of options that they had for any given item, a bottle, a pacifier, nail clippers. And I thought this wall is evidence of all the new ideas. So all these parents that have found a hole in the market, there's a need in the market, and they rush to fill it. And so I think entrepreneurs are a really interesting personality set. Again, I'm stereotyping, but a lot of times they're excited. They are people that take action. You know, a lot of people have tons of ideas, but these are the people who actually want to put put some action towards these things. So they're excited and they have a tendency to take on a lot at the beginning.
Right. And let's talk about that beginning. Let's talk about that initial phase. So the launch phase, there's no playbook, right? There's no existing relationships necessarily. If someone's a serial entrepreneur, they've done this before, then often they already have a CPA and an attorney. They're starting off with the right structures. They're starting off with the right partners. They can probably get financing already, but that's people who've done this before. For the majority of people, this is the first time they're running into this. They don't have an attorney set up. They don't have a CPA. Mm-hmm. They don't have a good relationship with a commercial bank to get lending.
Maybe they've never formed a company before. It's typical that they would work long hours, which hopefully means that they're passionate about what they're doing. They might have to work not just odd jobs, but all the jobs, you know, really from the ground up. And so that's kind of typical of this season. They may or may not be hiring a few key employees because they probably don't have the budget yet to hire everybody who they want to, but they will be hiring a few key employees, and they're probably testing, you know, proof of concept you mentioned, kind of testing out their idea in the market.
Yeah. And this is I think a hard, scary, and exciting season for business. And a lot of times, I think in reality, people still have their day jobs at this point.
Yeah,
they're still working for whatever they were working for. And on the side, on the weekends, they're trying to create this other business.
Right.
So there's a lot of experimenting going on, which is exciting. So kind of a story, we have a client we've worked with for a while. They're an apparel business, and they sell in a seasonal structure, I guess. Even as Christmas approaches, they are pushing a lot of
sales and merchandise, and that's their season.
And then as Christmas ends, they kind of have designing and ordering, getting things off from overseas, getting into Amazon or wherever else they're selling it. And it's interesting working with them. When they first came in, they wanted to make sure their personal plan was set, but really their personal plan is dependent on their business being successful.
Yeah, that it really compresses their profit into 3-4 months, maybe 1 or 2 quarters out of the year. And that has to suffice for the whole rest of the year. So they're kind of unique in that way that they definitely have sort of a quote unquote dormant season other than when they enter into their high sales season.
Yeah. And for them, when they finish high sales, good profits, they're excited, all that money, and this is probably as they get into that growth phase, all that money didn't just like go into their bank account and they had a party.
Right.
All that money went back into the business for next year to do this further and to do this farther and to reach where they want to get to. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big key moment of this. You know, when you get sales, even if you have good cash flow at this season of launch and early growth, you're probably not taking much of a salary. You're probably not receiving that.
It's not time to cash out.
No.
Like
you're
putting all back in.
Going, right? And that's where the risk, initially there's the risk. It's kind of like we got dogs not too long ago. We have some puppies that are now dogs. Mm-hmm. And the initial thought was, what are the startup costs? You know, to buy the dog, get the water bowls, get all the things. And that, in my mind, was the expense of it. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that was just day one. Then you got to feed them, and then they need shots, and then we need to take them for
walks. We grossly underestimated the little chew marks and
chew marks
things that would happen
house,
on our house damage. We could do a whole separate podcast on that. But the illustration is beneficial in that how many entrepreneurs can really expect ahead of time all of the costs that they're going to have. And like you said, if you're a serial entrepreneur, even if you've just done this one time before, two times before, you're going to come into it with more knowledge and a better sense of what some of those startup costs would be. But I think oftentimes they're unique to whatever sort of business you're trying to launch, service, product, they're going to have different expenses.
Yeah. And with success brings more costs, more revenue, but also more costs. And so when you get to that profit or positive cash flow, it might be longer than you might think. Mm-hmm. So let's move a little bit into the next category, which is the growth phase.
Yeah.
And this is where a lot of folks, it worked. You have a business, you launched it, you quit your job or whatever else you were doing. You were all in.
Or maybe this is the season where you quit your other job. Basically, the new company is taking off.
It's taking off, yep. And to your comment, this is probably the one where you're hiring. If you haven't already hired someone, you're probably hiring some help. You're getting some other people. So that means you're walking into HR, your payroll items. It all probably also means that you're either going to be bootstrapping it yourself, paying for it, or you're going to start bringing out some financing to a bank.
Yeah,
and that is a whole different world for people who haven't been in here yet. Because the bank, before they're going to give you money for a business, they're going to say, let's look at your projections, your business plan.
Right.
And launch phase, that's all you had. In growth phase, they're going to say, what's your P&L? What's your balance sheet? They want all those financial reporting. For some people, that's great. They got their mind
it's
around
easy.
That.
Easy. For others, it can be very daunting and complicated, and that can become the barrier to the next step for their company because they need an infusion of capital, and the best place to go and get it might be the small business, an SBA loan or other banks. A lot of banks offer competitive rates to small businesses, but you have to go in with some documentation that your business is viable.
Yeah. And where do you get that? I mean, in essence, you have to ethically and reasonably and accurately create it. And so often that includes a CPA, that includes some sort of but probably not a CFO role at this point. You may not have a full finance person, but you either might have a bookkeeper or you're working with an outside CPA to look at your books, help you understand better how to categorize things, how to track everything. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think somewhere in the growth period is where a lot of sophistication needs to come in.
Yeah.
If you get to the end of the growth period and it's just you out of your garage, you probably haven't grown to where you could have, right?
Right.
So it's probably transitioning from being in a garage, hey, this is great, to now being in an office or a warehouse or some other location, having staff, having financing, having more sophisticated on all levels. And one that people often will start to look at is, in their personal sense, hey, this is doing great. I just had the best year I've ever had, and I'm still not taking a salary. Or we had the best year we've ever had, and my employees are just starting to talk about a 401k.
Yeah.
And all those levels.
Or the question, when do I okay, the business is doing really well. I've taken, I've spent blood, sweat, and tears for X amount of time, probably longer than they thought. And I've put all that money back into the business. When do I get to take a salary? And if so, how much?
Yep.
And should I be paying my other employees more than me? And you're right, what about a retirement plan? All these things start to come into vision and they can be really complicated really fast.
And I think it's an appropriate time for that vision to go beyond just we need to make it work. It's to say, will this work for us?
Mm-hmm.
Will this business work for our family? Will it work for the community? Will it accomplish the things that we want it to now that we've gotten some traction. Mm-hmm. It's a great moment to look into. And there's even moments where some companies will start bringing in as early as this managers to kind of replace themselves to say, mm-hmm. Hey, I like the startup. I got it going. I'm not good at showing mm-hmm. up every day and making sure that everyone's on point. Mm-hmm. I need someone else. And that's, I think, a personality and a custom to each business. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some people I've heard actually different. So at this moment when somebody's looking for some expertise, some advice, you know, I think there's multiple ways that you can approach it. I recently heard a presentation from a family owned restaurant business that as they were starting to expand really quickly and franchise, it was the younger son in the family that mm-hmm. took over the business. He was a very young CEO. And one of the ways that they brought some wisdom and advice to him was by setting up a very strategic board of directors. And he said in his presentation, I identified my weak points. I identified the areas that I didn't know what decisions needed to be made or I didn't have a lot of expertise. And they went out and they actually hired specific board members that basically he was asking for access to their expertise.
Yeah.
Another route, I mean, that's kind of an expensive route because you had to hire those board members. Another route is, I know even in our area and in many areas, there are groups, organizations that you can join typically within your industry. They may be non-industry specific. They may just be, you know, young business owners. There's lots of organizations that you could join, become a member, and have access to some of the resources, but mostly just a networking opportunity where you meet with other entrepreneurs that might be in your same season or down the road a little bit farther than you and can give you some input and advice. So I think what's important here when you look at hiring either advice or getting expertise is to make sure that, you know, you don't find yourself alone because, you know, this is kind of a critical season of the business and a wrong decision, you know, could really be detrimental. You know, I don't want to be doom and gloom, but it can definitely have a large impact on the company.
Yeah. And we are here in Southern California, Riverside. We are I think privileged to have the Greater Riverside Chambers of Commerce. We have a fantastic Chamber mm-hmm. of Commerce. Not all cities get this. And ours specifically, if people are going to the Chamber of Commerce looking to make direct sales, they probably have the wrong idea. But if they're looking to make connections with other business leaders, you know, meeting some bankers, meeting some other industry people who either can directly assist your business in what they do or who have been there before and mm-hmm. can just give you some really good advice. It's a wonderful resource to meet people in that space. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're going for that purpose to build community, be a part of your community, but also gather from other people who've been this mm-hmm. before. It's mm-hmm. great.
I also think this is a phase, you kind of touched on this before, where you probably, the company hasn't hired maybe a formal accountant or CFO. Maybe they're still outsourcing the accounting. And that could actually be fine for the long term. I think there's a lot mm-hmm. of companies that outsource some of their finance and their accounting. One of the ways that Tricord is unique in the market is with your legal background and specifically in business transactional law. When we have entrepreneurs come and meet with us, obviously we do the personal side of financial planning, but we get an opportunity to align the professional side as well. So even just having another person review the financials of your company, talk about different financing options, you know, maybe there's some things that they haven't considered yet. Yeah. And so I just want to kind of bring attention to your background and what you offer.
But I think it gives us an ability to go more than just, you know, how's your retirement account doing? Because a lot of these people in this space, that's not what's top of mind. But right. I mean, at the end of last year, 2023, I started a number of LLCs for clients because they're launching into the 2024 with a new venture. Mm-hmm. That's a very normal process. In fact, even today, I had someone reaching out about trademark issues and saying, hey, am I going to get in trouble if I do this
trademarks.
Versus doing that? And that's not the area I focus in, but able to put in the right direction and say, yeah, this could be an issue if you were to pursue and try and start a business in this vein.
Right.
Some more research might be needed before you jump in. So, I think it's a benefit to our clients to be holistic. And I think even with your international experience, I mean, you've traveled all through the world in business purposes and to be able to speak into that for clients to say, you know, not just what's this street look like? What's our city look like? But think bigger. You know, what is the Southern California? What is the domestic? What is the internationally? What is this business looking to do? And I think that's a real beautiful part of dreaming larger with the client.
Yeah, absolutely. Doing business in different places looks different, I guess. And so I love international business and also just kind of playing with how you reach out to your target market. And that's something I love to talk to clients about. So a lot of times entrepreneurs are dead focused on growth.
Yep.
Okay, we got to make sure this company's going to work. Okay, so I get to the top. Or on my way to the top, what happens next?
Yeah, it's I always call almost like a backfill moment or a bridge moment where you've got to put in some real structures that are going to benefit you for the long term. Mm-hmm. HR being a big one. You know, somewhere in here you had to hire somebody and file tax forms and comply with, you know, we're in California, comply with California best practices and laws on hiring and firing. And some of that stuff is ethical and appropriate. Some of the stuff is just checking the box and doing what the rule says to make sure that you are following what you're supposed to be. So it's bringing in those levels of sophistication, which have costs. And being the lean and mean and fast growth company is really great. But there gets to be a point where now you probably do need a CFO, someone who's dedicated to your finances. You probably do need some staffing that's more robust. And all those are going to kind of eat into that skyrocketing growth. And usually in this season is when that growth that covered all evils, more money coming in, starts to slow. And to say you've kind of saturated the market, you've kind of expanded where you wanted to expand. And now you have a functioning business. And here's a good moment for folks as they're looking to be moving into that mature business aspect is to look at retirement plans, to look at parental leave policies, to look at all these things and company culture. The culture might've been a hustle culture,
right?
And now to say, no, we need a culture that is really going to lean into this next season. Yeah. I would say a lot of our clients are in this world to where I would consider them a mature business. You know, they run a business, they're good at it, but they're all different levels of that backfill of the things that they've established that make this a long-term sustainable business. You know, a big one being a retirement plan. There's so many different versions of retirement plans out there. And as a business owner, you know, you want to make sure that the money that you're generating for your team and for everything that you're also benefiting your personal life. To say, I might be able to retire someday, or I was able to take what was going to be very taxable and divert it into retirement planning so I don't suffer the taxes now. I can delay them till later. So it's also a moment where some people lose interest. I think some business owners, if they are entrepreneurial and they love the startup, they may not be interested anymore and need to bring on some management.
Yeah. So this is what we would, I guess, term kind of a crossover or a bridge phase into, just as, you know, if you were thinking about the growth of a business like a bell curve and you've, depending on the business, some could just continue on. So the bell curve illustration wouldn't apply, but, you know, they get to a peak growth phase and they're starting to round the corner towards maturity. So let's talk about if it was a mature company and they were in that season, you're going to have some indicators that are going to tell you that you've reached maturity. So your growth, or your sales rather, might have stayed consistent, but they're probably not growing at the same rate. Unlike the initial phase where you're hungry for cash, in this phase, you probably have more cash. You know, hopefully at this point, you've been a good steward with the sales that have been made and you've been able to manage the long-term debt that you might have taken on or the financing options and have some cash available in the company. What are some other indicators?
Yeah, and that's that cash, you're probably stable on cash, but your profitability, your profit margins are probably squeezing. You know, early on, when you were working, you got in, you know, $100 and you said, well, five of that goes to what I just did and the rest of it comes to the business. Great. Whereas now you've got HR folks, you've got maybe a location or two, you know, warehouse, office, all those things cost, and that's eaten into your margins. And so the benefit of this is when you go to a bank, they love these financials. You know, you have stable growth, you have stable cash flows, you have known expenses. You're very lendable. You know, the risks that a bank sees are much smaller than they were before, and certainties have gone out. But for businesses, you know, they have to really manage that margin now to say, are we really being profitable enough to fund all of these things, to build the business we're looking to? And you know, there's examples of companies that mature. I don't want to talk about the decline yet, but you know, think of like Blockbuster. Blockbuster was a great company for a long time.
Right.
You know, that they probably reinvented themselves a number of times in that process, being a mature company. But at some point, they didn't reinvent when they needed to.
Right.
They didn't get to virtual streaming soon enough, or you know, whatever their issues may have been. But then they declined. I mean, Kodak is another one. Kodak was all film. You know, felt like that was their main player. And then they declined over time.
Right. Xerox, Radio Shack, you know, all these mammoth companies that were household names at one time that now have just been kind of gone by the wayside.
And they probably got acquired at some point, right? They came down.
Yeah,
Those are very large
consolidation.
You think about a family-owned or a moderate sized business, you know, as they're maturing, if they don't put these things in place, if they don't reinvent themselves again and again to kind of stay with the market, they could suffer that decline. So I think in that maturity phase, that's a really key thing, is to, you know, look at margins, look at profitability. You know, you have good resources, you have to build, you mentioned that advisory board, to kind of build that around you to say, what am I missing? What else do I need to make sure that you have the resources to move forward and continue and to re-innovate. And for some people who are entrepreneurs, they love this. They love the aspect that they can bring in a manager and they can keep dreaming about the future. Others, this is a really hard season because you know, what's the next thing? What's new? So
that's such a good point. A couple of things occur to me there is that, you know, when your company starts to reach maturity, you as an entrepreneur probably need to be self-aware. You know, do you really enjoy the operational, administrative, the tactical? What point in the phase so far was your favorite? Where did you really shine? You may want to continue to have some sort of hands-on daily role at the company, or like you said, this might be an opportunity where really that idea of ownership. So you take your, potentially you take your hands off a little bit, you hire a manager, and that leadership role of still guiding the company, potentially there's a lot of different ways to structure it, but having input and advice, helping on the budget side, the financial side, but really hiring someone to operationally make the company successful for the long term.
Yeah.
The other thought that occurs to me here, which might be another reason to hire someone, is that oftentimes at maturity and with the rate of innovation in varies by industry, this is a time where a company really needs to consider adopting new technologies, reinventing, maybe not completely, you know, their product or their service might still be in high demand, but are they responding to changes in the market, the next demographic, the next target market that they're trying to serve? And you know, some owners and entrepreneurs are resistant to change. You know, they've had something that has worked.
Yeah.
Don't fix it if it ain't broke. But the idea here is not so much do we fix it or not, but are we evolving with the way that the market is guiding us? And so, you know, we talk about companies that are no longer household names, but there's, you know, other companies that are great examples of this. Microsoft is a great example of reinventing themselves. I always laugh when my kids pull out Legos, because they're just as popular and just as desirable to them now as they were to us.
Significantly more expensive, I feel like. Now.
Yes.
I don't know. They're all branded. Everything is branded.
Maybe because we're buying them and our parents aren't. Right. But there's been companies that have really, you know, kept up with what the market demands are.
Yep, that's right. And as we look at kind of this last phase, you know, maturity doesn't have to end, right? Maturity, like you said, like Apple has been a mature company for a long time and keeps reinventing. Microsoft, you know, with thinking about you know, what they're doing with your teams and what they're doing there, reinventing themselves over and over, same as a small size business. But at this moment, often you need to start thinking about succession planning. And succession planning could be sell the business. It could be bring on leadership that I can transition this to. If it was a family, it could be bring in family members that want to be a part of this. It could also be that emergency planning to say, what if that owner at this point were to pass away tragically? Is the business set up for any sort of continuity, or is everything just fall apart? That's security for the family, that's security for the employees. All of those become really important questions. And this is the other place where we interact a lot with our clients is they have a good business. They're getting a bit older and they're thinking about their future. And they say, do I want to sell it? Do I want to transition it? What is this going to do for my family? What is this going to do for all the clients and the staff that I've built and I appreciate?
In fact, we did a two-part recording on succession planning on our podcast where we're talking about actually starting your company with the end in mind. And so obviously for an entrepreneur that's just excited to get their product or their service out on the market, they're probably not thinking about what they're going to do in the future if they're going to sell their company. But at some point along the way, maybe through that growth phase, as they start to see sales come in, this company is legitimate, it's continuing to grow, you know, at some point along the way, that trigger, that flag needs to go off that I need to think about what's going to happen in the end. And there might be multiple scenarios that you consider. Yeah. Nobody really knows the future at all. But really, this is something, again, just to bring it back to that, the way an advisory or financial planning service can provide for an entrepreneur is looking at both the personal and professional side of things. So making sure that both are aligned from the protection standpoint, as well as profitability, retirement, et cetera, et cetera.
That's great. Well, this has been an overview, kind of business cycles. If you're a business owner, you know a business owner who's in one of these phases and could use someone to talk to, could use an ally, give us a call, reach out to us. We recently dropped a new website. It's tricordadvisors.com. There's all sorts of great information on there. There's more videos on there. So if you have any questions or would like to have us discuss some specific topic in a future episode, go to Tricord Advisors, leave us a note. We'd love to connect with you in that way.
All right, that's all for today. Thanks so much for listening. And without Randy here, let's say it together. May you grow in wisdom and knowledge.
Thank you.
For listening. Thanks for
listening. Information and ideas discussed on this program are in the nature of general comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific situation. Do not constitute legal or financial advice and do not create an attorney-client or fiduciary relationship. Any examples or circumstances discussed are fictional. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor, tax consultant, or attorney, as well as conduct their own due diligence prior to making any decisions. Investments involve risk and the possibility of loss, including the loss of principal. All situations are different and results may vary. Randy Barkley is a California Life Insurance agent, California license number 0518567, and Jeremiah Lee is a California licensed attorney and is responsible for this communication. Advisory services offered through Tricord Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm.